A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections. Today being the 14th day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we're at the halfway point almost of this blessed month. Now today, as we continue in our series, we turn our focus to yet another verse of the noble Quran. And this is a very unique verse of the Quran in which, as we will see, Allah introduces an interesting obligation upon the Muslims. What I can only describe in today's terminology as a pay-as-you-go system. So going to the Quran, chapter number 58, Surah Al-Mujadila, verse number 12, Allah says the following, O you who believe, when you intend to consult the messenger in private, offer something in alms to the needy before your consultation. That is better for you and purer. Yet if you do not find means to do so, then Allah is surely all-forgiving, all-compassionate. This verse provides guidance to believers on the etiquette of consulting the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, in private, at least in the early stages of its revelation, and for the time that this commandment was in place by Allah, before it was abrogated and replaced. It emphasizes the importance of approaching the Prophet with respect and sincerity, highlighting the significance of giving charity before seeking his counsel. Now the late Tabarsi in Majmu' al-Bayan, the very famous tafsir commentary of the Quran, as well as very many other well-known commentators have narrated the following incident regarding the descent of this verse as follows. They note that some wealthy individuals used to come to the Prophet for private discussions, and they would engage in this stealthy conversations with him. Now, besides this taking up the precious, valuable time of the Prophet, this practice of these private conversations also caused concern for the weaker members, the poorer members of society, as it seemed to be a factor in contributing to the privilege of the wealthy. They had more money, potentially more influence, and so they would leverage that to interact with the Prophet in private, leaving others to wonder what was going on behind closed doors. It was at this point that Allah revealed the aforementioned verse and instructed these rich individuals that before you engage in private conversation with the Messenger of Allah, you need to give charity to the needy. Now when the wealthy saw this, they actually began stopping these private conversations with the Prophet. However, the verse which follows, which we won't review, but it was revealed and it mentioned and it reproached them, and it ended up abrogating the ruling of the first verse, allowing everyone to have private conversations with the Prophet. However, it did ask the people to engage in acts of goodness and obedience to the Lord in lieu of charity to the poor. Now, some commentators have clarified this point by stating that the aim of some of those who engaged in these actions with the Prophet was, meaning these private conversations, was to gain superiority over others. And despite feeling upset, you know, the Prophet, due to his magnanimity, his ethics, he didn't want to prevent the people from these private gatherings. However, the Quran prohibited them from this practice. Now, a question will come up that why would Allah remark that this charity they should give is better for them and purer for them? What do these have to do with the topic at hand in giving in charity? How is charity better and purer? Well, the goodness contained in charity that they would be giving, this relates to the fact that this would be beneficial for both the giver, these rich people, and the recipients. For the giver, it leads to rewards, and for the needy, it serves as a means of support and assistance. Furthermore, the purity portion of the verse stemmed from the fact that it cleansed the heart of the wealthy from the love of money, the love of wealth. And it also allowed the hearts of the needy to be cleansed from resentment and distress at seeing the rich members of society. So what would the poor and the less well-off Muslims do? Did Allah prevent them from having private discussions or approaching the Prophet in secrecy? Of course not. On the contrary, the verse clarified, and it said that if the obligation of giving charity before speaking to the Prophet, had that been a universal requirement, well, the poor would have been deprived of presenting their important matters or needs before the Prophet. May Allah bless him and his family. Thus, the command of charity was actually lifted from this group by Allah saying, if you cannot find the means, then Allah is forgiving and merciful. In this way, those who are financially capable were obligated to give charity before these private conversations with the Prophet could ensue. While those who are not capable, they could still engage in private meetings with the messenger without having to give anything in charity, because again, they had very little, if anything, to give. Now, it's interesting that the above command had a remarkable effect and became an intriguing test of faith. Historians say that all, except for one person, and you can guess who that is, all refrained from giving charity and going to have these private conversations with the Prophet in his private residence. And you're right, if you thought that it was only Imam Ali, peace be upon him, he was the only one who gave to charity before he went to see his beloved Prophet, and was showing you and I that we can learn from his directive of life. Now, when we reflect on this command in the history of the community in Medina, it becomes apparent that for some of those rich people that had stopped going to the Prophet, their love for wealth far outweighed their desire for speaking with the Prophet and being in his audience, in his area. It's also evident that in these private sessions, important issues were probably very rarely raised. Otherwise, why would a person not want to give in charity in order to get pressing issues clarified from the final messenger of Allah? Now, keep in mind also that there was no specific amount designated for charity. They could have given even the smallest amount to the needy. However, it seems that their love of wealth overshadowed their love for the Prophet and guidance. Now, in one last point before we wrap up our discussion for this verse for today in this blessed day of the month of Ramadan, how long did this aforementioned ruling, meaning the obligation of charity, before having private conversations with the Messenger of Allah last, before Allah abrogated it? Was it days, weeks, months, years? Well, although there are multiple opinions given by our commentators of the Quran, most likely it was a period of nothing more than 10 days. What a strange thing. People were not willing to have private talks with the Prophet for even a short time period, although they might not have known how long it would be, all because of the fact that they had to give charity to the needy, and that to any amount. Now, coming back to the topic at hand, the verse holds particular relevance to Imam Ali, peace be upon him. He clearly exemplified the teachings of this verse through his unwavering commitment to charity and compassion toward the needy, and his love to communicate with and be in the presence of his beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. Thus, the life of Imam Ali serves as a beacon of generosity and selflessness, reflecting the essence of Quranic teachings. He's a man that would give charity at all times and all states. When hungry, he gives all he has. In Salat, he gives what he has. Moreover, brothers and sisters, Imam Ali's deep understanding of the Quranic teachings enabled him to embody the values of empathy in all of his interactions. His compassion toward the needy and his commitment to charity exemplify the noble principles advocated in this beautiful verse of the Quran for today. Now, although the name of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is not directly mentioned in the Quran, nor in the verse we are reviewing today, that's where the hadith come into play. Given that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them, are the rightful interpreters of the Quran, we must go to their door of guidance to see how they explain the verses of the Quran. In looking at the verse under review for today, we come across the following narration, which adds clarity to the verse and the concept. And the Messenger of Allah, rather, says the following, that this hadith comes from Mujahid, who is reported to have said, "We were commanded that none should privately converse with the Prophet until he gave charity beforehand. So the first one to give charity before conversing privately with him was Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he conversed with the Prophet privately. After that, no one conversed privately with him, meaning with the Prophet. Then the permission for private conversation was revealed, which abrogated this verse. Have you feared to present before your consultations charities?" This is a hadith found in Shawahid al-Tanzil, narrated by the very famous Sunni scholar Al-Haskani. With that said, let us now come to some practical tips from the topic of today for our Ramadan reflections, as well as a closing reflection and a final thought to end the day. Tip number one is faith and responsibility. Faith comes with responsibility. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, exemplified this by demonstrating his commitment to Islam through acts of charity. His readiness to give, even for the opportunity to communicate with the Prophet, highlights the notion of putting belief into action. Point number two is alleviating poverty. Islam advocates for the use of any means to alleviate poverty. Imam Ali's condition for private meetings with the Prophet, requiring charity for the poor, underscores the importance of charity in Islamic ethics. This, in turn, reflects the principle that charity benefits society as a whole, not just individuals. Point number three is choosing faith over wealth. Choosing between wealth and devotion to the Prophet reveals one's level of faith. While others may have hesitated, Imam Ali alayhi salam's unwavering faith and dedication to Islam led him to prioritize his relationship with the Prophet over material wealth. This highlights the importance of faith-driven decision-making. We leave you with a closing reflection, which is that Imam Ali's life serves as a profound example of faith in action. His unwavering dedication to Islam, demonstrated through acts of charity and devotion to the Prophet, emphasizes the inseparable connection between faith and responsibility. As followers of Islam, it is incumbent upon us to emulate Imam Ali's example by actively translating our beliefs into meaningful actions that benefit both ourselves and society at large. And we leave you with one final thought for today. In a world marked by inequality and hardship, the teachings of Islam remind us of our duty to uplift those in need and strive for the betterment of society. By embodying the principles of faith, responsibility, and charity exemplified by Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we can contribute to creating a more just and compassionate world. Let us heed the lessons of his life and endeavor to walk the path of righteousness, following in the footsteps of the noblest of leaders. Until tomorrow, brothers and sisters, and another day of Ramadan and our Ramadan reflections, we leave you with the words of peace. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.